Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood? It's your boy, James Lopez, representing for the dope dads of the Fatherhood is Lit community. Cars, just like fatherhood, have their own set of stereotypes, and y'all know how I roll. I like killing those stereotypes. And today I wanted to chat with a father who is always doing something with his kids and does it in style. He does it in his hooked up minivan. Yep, a minivan. What's good, Nate Watson?
Hey, what's good, man?
What's good, man? You know, I've been dying to talk to you, bro, because, you know, growing up, minivans weren't cool, bro. Like, minivans were a step up. I don't know if you remember back in the days, like, they had those station wagons with the wood panels and shit. You remember
them? The Woodies.
Wait, what you call them? The Woodies?
I call them the Woodies. That's what we call them in Detroit. We call them the Woodies.
Hell, you was styling if you had one of those back in the days, man. It didn't matter how poor you were. You had that wood panel. Oh, my goodness. You were the man on the block.
Yeah. Yeah, you steal them where I'm from.
And then minivans took over. Not even minivans. What took over next was those cargo vans. You remember those vans that people convert? That they look like cargo vans, but now they got a sofa in the back and all that.
Hey, the hype of conversion van, man. I actually want one of those too.
Wait, you wanted those? You wanted one of those?
I would love to have one.
I'm pretty sure you would kill it. Well, before we get into that, because we already know the topic is going to be minivans and breaking that stereotype. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for representing for the dads out there, because when I'm looking for cool things to do, I could go to your Instagram and I see you doing really cool things with your kids that are past Disney. Like, you live in Orlando, you could do Disney, but you do other things. So thank you for spreading that. You know what I mean? For letting us know that there's other things we could do when we live in a place full of, like, theme parks.
I appreciate that, man. Just having fun, you know?
Yeah, man.
Stay busy.
Yeah. So now back to the topic at hand, man. Minivans. You know, they got a stigma. You know, growing up, we were just happy to have anything. What made you get into minivans, bro? Like, was this a childhood thing?
No, because as a child, we didn't have a van. We actually had a wagon. I don't know if you remember the old. So, you know, Ford had the Taurus, but then they had Mercury had the Sable. So my mom had a Sable station wagon, the Mercury Sable. And I used to love that thing. Nobody else really liked it, but I loved that thing. And I had the third seat in the back that faced backwards. You face out the window the backwards way.
Yeah, yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. So as a kid, that's what we had. And then, you know, my mom ended up getting rid of that car. But all my other friends who had vans, I really wasn't into them until I got older. We had this van here. This is actually my wife's van. But I have been looking, you know, I don't know if you follow cultures and stuff, but like in Japan, they do vans crazy.
Yeah, that whole JDM
so I haven't
stuff,
seen that
man.
For a long time. Yeah, all that JDM stuff. And I love it. It just looks cool. And I'm like, well, I can still haul my family and not have to get, you know, an SUV. Because I really, let me be honest here, I'd love to have like an Escalade or something.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to put gas in something like that. This one here.
And parking.
It's like 30 bucks, 35, maybe 40 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And you're good. You're right.
Yeah, and parking too, you know, man. Like parking. I got a big, the 7-passenger Durango. And, you know, because I live in New York City, I'm so used to parallel parking and, you know, sticking my car anywhere. But it was hard. The beginning, you know, going from a 4-door to a long truck, it was like, damn, man, like the gas is a lot. The parking is a lot. The cleaning is a lot. Like, what's up?
Yep. Yep.
It gets crazy.
It's a little bit better with the minivan, you know. It fits a little bit better. And, you know, you save on gas a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun to me.
Yeah, so you grew up in Orlando?
No, I grew up in Detroit. Yeah.
Okay, so do you have a lot of friends in Orlando now, though? Like a lot of, you know, grown-up friends and stuff? Like a lot of male counterparts?
Yeah, I got some male counterparts here, too. Same, you know, same here and up there. Back and forth, go back and forth a little bit.
What do they say about the minivan, bro? Like, did you lose any cool points?
I don't know. I wasn't worried about it. I don't know if that makes sense.
I
like to have fun. And I had already had my mind set because the van that I have is called the Honda LeGrand in Japan. So when I found it, when my wife was done with it because it had some issues, I was like, I'm going to repair it and keep it, even though I got her a newer van.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went nuts with it. started, you know, because I teach collision. So me and my kids at the school, we painted it. As kids, as in students. Mm-hmm. They helped me with it. We got to repaint it. And, man, just stuff kept falling in my lap. I got coilovers for it.
Wait, you put some money, because coilovers ain't cheap. Like, I know you in a school where maybe you could use some of the labor, right? But coilovers ain't cheap. Putting a skirt on the car ain't cheap. You know, changing these things ain't cheap.
Nah, you got to find the deals, man. You got to find stuff, you know, stuff secondhand, stuff to use. But, you know, when you know how to do it by hand, you just repurpose it. So the body kit kind of fell. The guy was selling it cheap, like $600, and I picked it up and refinished it to make it mine, you know? Yeah. You just got to get lucky and keep looking for the stuff that's coming down a little bit lower. I don't have it. I'm not a baller. I got some dads. I know they stay here, this one. It's just dads in California and like Miami and stuff who they could spend a big buck. They buy the stuff brand new. Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet. You know?
Yeah. Nah, I think that's the beauty of fatherhood, though. Like, you learn how to do more with less. Because even when you got it like that, you sort of tend to like give it to the kids. Where it's like,
right.
Like for me, it's like, man, like if I see a new pair of sneakers, I love sneakers. I love cars. I'd rather spend the money on my kids, though. And everybody else will look at me and be like, man, you used to be like such a cool sneakerhead, and you're lacking now. Like, you're missing releases. And it's like, yeah, but my son got it.
Right. Because that's what it's about, man. You know, all the stuff that you see me do here, I do the labor, or me and the students do the labor. They might help me on some stuff. And the rest of it is, you know, I do a little painting here and there, or I do some other stuff, or I trade off with people, and you figure it out. I'm not going to spend the money because, like you said, I'd rather do some cool stuff for my kids with the extra money I'm making. You know, I go out and you see the videos. I'm always somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about, man. That's first.
Yeah. You know, I like one thing you said. You know, I asked you a very deliberate question about losing cool points. Because, you know, growing up, especially in the hood, you know, cool points meant everything to us, right? Well, to some of us.
They do.
A certain degree, right? And you said something really cool, which was, I didn't worry about it. How many kids do you have, and how are you going to teach them that?
I have four, mm-hmm. and I just try to let them know, because, you know, kids are kids, right? And they come home, when they trust you, they come home with their stories and things like that. And in those instances, those are the best times where you can let them know, like, don't worry about what, you know, your friend says. That's not what's important. And if they're your friend, they're going to back you up, you know?
Yeah.
You got to just kind of talk to them about it. And I've just become the same way. There's really, when I was playing with the van, there was nobody else with a van. All my other friends were trying to buy SUVs
mm-hmm.
or four-door cars because they got less kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want to do something different, man. If I'm going to have to drive the van, I'm going to make it look the way I want it to look, how I see it, because I love cars. And I still take it to Cars and Coffee with all these exotics and stuff. I don't care.
Oh, so you do.
I think it's cool.
So you bring the minivan to the meetups, to the car meetups?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. This is my next weekend will be the first time I ever put in a car show. But usually I just do meets. You know, if they have a meetup, I'll take it out there and park it. And it gets attention just like everything else parked there sometimes. It's kind of fun.
Nah, yo, I got so many questions, bro. But you just said that you're going to put your minivan in the actual show.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's dope, bro. That is sick. That is sick. Like, I used to love going to car shows, bro, but I used to do, like, the imports, you know, like the Integras, the souped-up Hondas, the Supras. I used to see some dope minivans, too. So that's kind of exciting for me, where it's like you get to do something that maybe you loved when you were younger, which was, like, doing the car shows, and now you get to actually be in it. That's fire, bro. Like, what? Did you go to car shows?
Yeah, I still do. But
did you go before? When you were younger, did you go lots of car shows, like import nights, like hot import nights and things like that?
Oh, yeah. Man, I was really heavy into it back then, but we kind of slowed up because, you know, you start having kids. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to take a kid with you to a car show because, especially if you're in the show, you're there all day. It could be some of these shows, they try to keep you there like an 8-hour day sometimes, which is, in my opinion, out of control. But, you know, I still go visit them, and usually I'll take my kids with me. That's why I like the meets better, because I can come and go as I please. You know, you can show up on time and then say, hey, you know, it's been an hour. I'm going to go ahead and head out. Yeah. You know, I don't have to sit around, especially with the younger kids. Yeah, yeah. But this is the first one I'm going to try to go all day. And my wife's going to back me up. She said she's going to come out. And she'll, you know, if the kids get irritable, she might head out with them. But, man, I think it's going to be fun.
That's sick, man. That's sick. I hope you win something, man. That'll be dope, man. Like, being there, you already won, right? And it fulfills something for you as a man. But now your kids get to see how you really don't care if somebody doesn't like a minivan. You're still going to like it, and you're still going to put on for it, right? Where now your kids can see you proud, bro. And I think that's the best way to teach your kids, like when you could do it yourself. Like, it's one thing to tell them, yo, man, you want a minivan? Go get yourself a minivan. It's another thing to say, yo, you want a minivan? Check out dad. Look what I did. You know what I mean? Like, it's a sense of pride, man, but also educational.
I think my whole thing is, you know, especially being in the cars, you know, you try not to be judgmental on somebody else's thing, like when they build whatever. And you just hope nobody has the same problem with yours. But honestly, if I'm the one putting the time and the work into it, it's all me. So however you feel about it, your opinion really doesn't matter at that point. I'm enjoying myself. My kids think it. They like it. You know, when they ride in it, my oldest always picks my van to go anywhere we go because he loves that car. So.
He's proud. He's proud, bro. That's dope.
Yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool to see it.
Yeah. So you said you used to do car shows, right? Growing up, did you go to car shows like without wifey? Like, were you there with just your friends? Like, did you go see a lot of car shows?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so now,
I mean, ever since I was a kid, too, you know.
All right, so let's get into it deep then, man. And I don't want you to get beat up by wifey, all right? So, you know, you could you don't need to answer. I used to go to car shows, right? A lot of car shows, especially the hot import nights. And I would go because I loved cars. But I also went because I love to see the women, right? How do you fight that, bro? Like, I'm you can't say you don't see the eye candy because that's part of the car show. But how do you separate those lessons for your son as opposed to your daughter, right? Where you say, all right, son, you're looking at that, but you got to know that you can't touch. And then you're telling your daughter, yo, you don't got to do that. You could do something else. So how do you navigate that?
I don't know. I just treat it, you know, the last time, I haven't really had it too much because most of these meets that we do, they don't have that.
Yeah.
But the last show we did, which it did happen there, it was a lowrider show. And I don't know if you've ever seen the lowrider shows, the kind of woman that show up to those shows.
Crazy.
You know, they dress up. Yeah, crazy, right?
Yeah.
So I know my son sees it, I know my daughter sees it, but I kind of tell them, like, they're just putting on a show.
It's part of the culture.
Right?
Like, it's part of the culture.
Like, it's part of the culture. Like, they're gonna pose with the cars, they're gonna take pictures. You know, for my son and my daughter, you kind of just tell them, like, this is just part of it. It's not real. You know, these are models that are coming here to take pictures. They're just going to be in front of the car or whatever.
It's a business.
Right. And then I head out usually, like, that show, I didn't even stay to the end because I know some of these shows, they get wild. They do, like contests and
the raves. It turns into a rave.
I cannot be here for this.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, I got to go. Y'all go up there. I'm going to keep back here. You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I try to just treat it like it's, you know, it's just part of it. Like, a lowrider show is part of the culture. These import shows, that's just how they draw people in, I guess. I don't really understand it, but I just try to let my kid know that it's not real.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because, you know, I think as dads, right, as dads, we've done things growing up that others don't really know the reasoning behind it, right? And for me, it's like, I love taking my kids to car shows, but I can't share the love of, hey, we're going to a car show, yo, check shorty out. Like, it's just impossible for me to do because I'm scared that he's going to go back to mom and I'm going to catch a whipping, you know what I mean? And it's like, damn, like, now you got to, like, figure out how to balance it, right? Where you balance your fun time, but also keep it cordial for them. You know what I mean? And it's just a fascinating thing because car shows, man, for the people that have never been to a car show, go to one because he's right. Like, they could go really light. And then by the nighttime, they turn up. And when they turn up, you got a lot of explanations to do.
Yeah, it's some tough ones down here that I just won't Like, I won't even attend because I know I've seen movie, like, you know, because a lot of people are vlogging now. So a lot of these shows, you can see them online. Some of these, like, for instance, you know, because I'm in Orlando. So for me, the culture is new. The big wheel culture is huge here. And some of these shows they do here for that, like, I won't even participate. I'm not even going.
Wait, it's too wild. What was the name of it? You said the big wheels?
So they have, like, big, so a lot of the dunk shows.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's the dunks, the big wheels.
Like 28 and, yeah, like, where
they got the Caprice with 40s on it. Like, that's a huge, like, Miami culture, like a big Florida thing, right?
It's a big Florida thing, especially during the Classic weekend where you have the two HBCUs come and they play here.
Yeah.
They have a car show that weekend every time. That show is huge, but usually what I do is, for my son, because my son loves cars, we'll go hang out because they cruise up and down the street. So you usually can cruise with them, and then you park and, you know, take video, take pictures, whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't go into the show. That's how I get around that one. We're not going to the show, but we can go see the car.
You keep them out the wildfire? You keep them out the wildfire, bro?
Yeah, that's too much, man. Maybe when he's like high school or college or something, when he has a full understanding, a better understanding of life, we can go that lane, but not yet, bro.
Yeah, no, I love your answer, bro. I love your answer because I think when you have multiple kids, not only do you got to protect them from some of the craziness, but then you got to separate the things that you do with them. Like, you just made it clear, like, you know, I'll go with my oldest because he loves car shows, right? And then maybe you'll go with your youngest to Disney because that's their thing. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Like, I think sometimes parents be like, man, if you go to a car show, take all your kids. And it's like, nah, I know which one I could take. And which one I shouldn't take, and what we can and can't do. You know what I mean?
Right. It's a maturity level, right? Like, when you got kids that, for instance, my 6-year-old isn't going to make it 4 hours at a car show or a meet. Mm-hmm. He's going to be bored out of his mind. Now, my 12-year-old has a better understanding of what's happening. He's actually interested in what he's seeing right now. He's going to be deep. Now, they both love cars, though. It's just that one has a better understanding of what's happening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's why I take him. Now, this kid might come with me for a little bit, but mom was already like, look, I'll take him home if they start getting like kind of like where they don't want to be there. She's like, I'll just take him home because we're not too far from the house.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that balance, man. Yeah. It's a tough balance, but you can do it.
Yeah, you know, talking about balance, you know, get into that a little bit, man. Like, how do you separate the time amongst four kids, you know, to make sure that every single one of them feels loved? Like, it's a, you know, that's a loaded, heavy question. But I think it's a real question. You know, I think it's one of those questions that a lot of us don't even take the time to think about sometimes. Like, how do we spread the love?
I don't know how you might do it. For me, I just try to, I just do my best day by day. I don't really have an answer, a straight answer, really.
Yeah, because I know why you don't.
I just try to do.
I know why you don't have a straight answer.
I don't think there is one.
I don't think there is one either. And I don't think we think about it. I think as fathers, sometimes you realize who needs the time. Like, I could look at my middle child and say, all right, it's time for me to go hang out with him right now. Just me and him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see that he's needy right now. Like, it's almost like, you know, your child. And then that's when you do these things. You know what I mean? That's when you separate and say, all right, cool. I'm going to take you to go do calls, and I'm going to go take you to a car show. You know, I think it's one of those hard things, man. Hard balance.
And I realize this, too. Sometimes it's really simple, right? Sometimes it's as simple as, hey, I got to go to the grocery store. Or, hey, I got to go to Target. Hey, little man, why don't you come with me to the store? Even if he says no, I'll be like, no, just come with me. Just to separate them from the rest. And give him attention. And we could just be shopping for groceries or something we need from the store. Just something simple. But that time away where it's just you two and they just talking. I've even started doing this with my son. Or like sometimes I separate, like my oldest, I'll take him for a walk around the neighborhood, you know, and he can tell me about school because he's in middle school. He's the only one in middle school, right?
Yeah.
Talk about school. How's everything going? How's life? And just let him ramble. That kid loves that, man. Sometimes I think as dads, we forget how simple it can be. Just a simple, like, hey, just come with me for a minute. You don't have to be anything special, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think you hit that perfectly, bro. Like, that's, you know, that's something I wanted to ask you because, you know, I'm going to go ahead a little bit further. I wanted to ask you more about minivans, but this topic is too good to let go of, man. Like, sometimes as fathers, we think we got to give them the world to make them happy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes all we need to do is take that little walk, like you just said. Like, kids mm-hmm. open up, man. Like, you take a walk around your block, you will hear about things you never thought they knew about, man, just by giving them that little 10 minutes. You know what I mean? So besides little walks and stuff like that, like you a Disney family, that means that you guys could, how does it work? Since you live in Orlando, is Disney cheaper? Like, do you get like a
resident rate? Yeah, they have Florida, so you can get a Florida annual discount or whatever. Yeah, so it's a little bit, it's less.
So now you guys live in Florida. Is it safe to assume that you guys are not doing Disney every weekend?
I'll tell you a funny story because it ties into what we're talking about right now. Funny story is we used to go when we first got on. We used to go like every weekend, but kids get used to it, and you would think they would never get tired of it, but they get tired of it just like anything else. For the kids, it's like going to your favorite park in your neighborhood, right? And you're going all the time. At some point, they'd be like, I don't want to go. Like, my 12-year-old did it to us last weekend. He's like, oh, I really want to go to my friend's house if he's available. Mm-hmm. I said, wow.
Even better.
You know?
Save some money.
I was like, well, all right. But the younger two want to go. So we took the younger two boys. Yep.
Yeah.
This is how it is sometimes.
Yeah, man, because, you know, I'm very blessed. We've been to Disney, you know, multiple times. I hate that place, man. I'm sorry to say this. I hate it, and I only hate it because of the heat. Like, you know, for us New Yorkers, the only time we could go out there is in the summertime. And it's like, damn, we went from heat to heat.
I was going to say, you need to come in the fall, or you come, you know, like in the wintertime, and you'll love it because there's less people usually. Don't come Christmas, though. Christmas week is terrible. It's too many people. But like fall sometime, like October, and this weather's perfect. It's like 70, and there's nobody really there because most of the people don't come down. Oh, man. That's when I fell in love with it. I don't like summer either. We only go at late at night, and, you know, when the sun's down, we go late to close it out, or we go early first thing in the morning before everybody get there. That's it.
Yeah, man, because that place, whoo, it'll burn you out with the heat. It'll take you down.
Yeah.
It'll take you down. All right, so let's get back to the minivan, man. You know, I got my kids, bro, and you know, one thing that I always put online is that my snack man is always hiding things under his car seat. How do you react to these dirty kids, bro, in your minivan? Like, I know you fixing your car. Do you tell them, yo, you drop a piece of popcorn, I'm gonna force you to eat it, or do you just let them go in?
At this point, I've given up.
You've given
what
up,
I
bro?
Usually do is,
nah.
Not completely, but at some point, if I get frustrated, I'll be like, look, this day, all of y'all helped me clean this car out. And it helps because they'll try to keep it decently clean. Like, because my wife has a van too, mind you. Mm-hmm. Hers isn't modified, though. She refuses not to mess with it.
She won't let you touch it? She won't let you do
it? No, because she rides in mine.
Like, she abuses yours instead, man? Damn women.
She said, it sounds like it's falling apart. I said, well, babe, it's about 6 to 7 inches lower than what it's supposed to be. That's why, with these thin tires. Oh, man.
You styling.
She's like, yeah, I don't know about this. I said, well, you know, one day I'm going to buy me a newer one and then modify it. She's like, why? I was like, because I can't help it. I like cars. I got to ride in style.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of those things is trying to. I still can't believe it. Like you said, you. Well, you know what? I can't believe it because I quit too. Like, you know, when we first got our truck, man, I used to keep that thing so clean, and it became like a losing battle with the kids. Man, it's like you clean one day, and the next day it looks like you need a hazmat suit again.
Yeah,
it's like you just can't win.
If there's one thing I'm learning about getting older, you know that the extra stress isn't worth it. Mm-hmm. Because it used to be like that, too. Like, first, especially when I first painted it, I was like, don't slam the door and don't do this and don't do that. But over time, like, this kid scratched it the other day. He scratched the bumper. He's taking his razor scooter out at the park last summer, matter of fact. I was like, whatever, man. I was like, it's not that bad. Come on, let's go. Like, why am I going to stress over something that I can't control? I drive it every day. It's going to get messed up. It's for them, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's whatever. Now, I will, like, this week, because we go on a spring break this week. I already told him. I said, make sure you're ready. You're going to collect all the trash out of here, and then y'all going to take turns vacuuming it.
Yeah.
I need your help.
How do they feel? How do they feel about that? Because I know my snack man. Yeah, I tell my snack man clean up, and he'll like smash some more cookies. like Dad, what are you gonna do about it?
Oh my god! You know that's the nickname of my van. I nicknamed it Cookie Monster because all the crumbs inside.
That's you got a collection.
Wait, so all the time Cheerios, cookies. Oh my god, chips.
My uncle, when he had his conversion van, he had like, you know, like that plush seating and the reclinable seats. Like these old people, man, these old Puerto Ricans, they used to love these conversion vans, man. And one thing he used to do is when we would go to the beach, everybody would park at the parking spots real close to the beach. Homeboy would have us like a mile away. Just to keep his car like clean, keep it away from people.
He won't park next to nobody.
And he will put these big ass chains, man, to lock down the steering wheel and the gas. Did you ever catch yourself doing that? Like when you started fixing your minivan, like did you purposely not park it in front next to people?
At first, yeah, but over time, it doesn't even bother me. Like at first, when we go to Disney, I wouldn't want to take my van. Like, yeah. No, we're not taking my car because you can't pick where you park at like certain places. Like, no, I'm not taking mine. We take yours. But now I'm like, yeah, let's take mine so I can show it off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's dope. I love seeing your stuff, man. Like, did you ever hear your kids tell did you ever see them or notice them like tell somebody else, yo, my dad's minivan is fire. Like, this is hot. Like, have you ever seen them take pride in it? And how was
that? That's the wildest thing I've ever encountered.
Mm.
It's for my son to come home and be like, yeah, I told him we had a drop minivan. I was like, you did what? He's like, yeah, I told him it's lower with big wheels and all that. I'm like, oh my gosh. He's going to think I'm crazy. And then what will happen is I'll pull up to the, you know, like the car loop lines.
Uh-huh.
And there's always a couple that it turns heads. And they're like, what is that? You know, the one principal knew me at my other son's school at the elementary school. She's like, I love your van. Every time it pulls up, I know it's you. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't make this kid a celebrity when we pull up in the line. But,
wait, who's controlling the radio when you pull up to the school lines? Is it you or the kids or is the radio off?
When I pull up. Duh, it's usually down. It's, you know what I mean? Because I'm in the school.
Yeah.
And then I give it to them usually after we get in the car, you know. I give them the aux cord. I give my oldest the aux cord all the time.
Yeah.
He loves it.
Yeah.
It's just to make them feel involved, you know.
Yeah. I used to do the same thing with Snack Man. Like, it'll be Halloween or Christmas and he'll play, like, the holiday music. You know, we pull up to the daycare or school, drop him off. The minute he got out that car, though, it was on. Now the music changed, and I think some of the parents probably looked at me like, damn, this dude is crazy. Like, he came in with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and left with, like, some Wu-Tang or something. Like, this dude is nuts. You ever had a parent look at you?
Playing with gotta play it with the big subwoofers in the back too. Play their music, man. They love it.
Nah,
they
man. Nah, I would let my Puerto Rican family members handle the stereos, man. Like, in my car, we have all stock. And my cousins, you know, they got the big speakers with the Puerto Rican mm-hmm. flags and all that. And, you know, when they pull up to the school, everybody knows that they're there. It's not just the school. It's the whole neighborhood.
The whole hood.
That's when I put my head down, like, damn, Cousin Jay's behind us. But yo, that's crazy. So another thing that I would love to talk about is when you went out there and started finding people from the minivan community and started going to these meets, did you find a lot of people that had kids had minivans, or did you see people that were also single rocking the shit out of a minivan?
Most of them have kids, but I have found a couple that don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool. Like, they just use it for different stuff. Like, because one gentleman on top of my head, he was using it because he had animals. He had dogs.
Yeah.
You know? and there's just more space. So he let the seats down, and he was using it like that. But then he started playing with it, you know, airbags, the wheels, and new paint, you know, and then it became a toy. But he had it, I believe he had it originally for his animals, for his dogs, you know?
Yeah.
So you never know. I've even met kids who had a, I had a kid at the school here where I teach. I had a kid here who, he had his, it was a hand-me-down, the same exact van that I have. It was a hand-me-down, and they were driving it. He wanted to modify it and all that, but that was his car to drive to school. Crazy.
Yeah, no, I know a couple kids. Yeah, I know a couple kids that just have a minivan. That's why I was asking you, because I think people are starting to get more in tune with loving what they love. Like, you know, like where if it's a minivan, that's what I'm rocking. If I want to come with a bike, that's what I'm rocking. You can't stop me. You know what I mean? I think it's pretty dope. So, yeah, man, you know, a couple more questions, man. I know you still in the school, and I know you're going to go paint your next project. But I still got a couple more for you. And I wanted to ask you about your YouTube channel. What made you start that YouTube channel?
Oh, man. Honestly, I felt like there weren't enough people who look like me in the space, especially dads. I wanted to see more dads like me. That's the whole reason for Dad Swag in the first place. When I first started just doing stuff, was because I felt like I didn't see any other African-American dads who enjoyed being a dad like I did. So I was like, well, why not it be me? I didn't know it would be all this. But when I started making the YouTube videos, it was really just stuff we was already doing, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, everything you see me do in the videos is actually what we had plans to do. The only difference now is I record it. I document it. Mm-hmm. And when I told my wife about the idea, she said I should do it too. And, you know, the best part about all of it is, at the end of the day, it's almost like having, you know how back in the day when you were kids, you know, your mom or your dad or grandpa had like that big old book of pictures?
Yeah.
Right? And you can go back at any point in time, you can go back to the house and they got that thing on the shelf. You pull it out and you can go through pictures. This is kind of what this is for me, is just documentation. Right. So now when my kids are older, we can always look back. That's how I figured it. I was like, even if it doesn't blow up, I have like cool stuff I can show my kids. Remember the time I went to Animal Kingdom? Remember the time we were at the Science Center? I can just show them. Remember the time we went to Tennessee in the mountains and we, you know, we did this, that and the other. I got like physical, like video of all this stuff, and it doesn't go away. It's on YouTube. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
At least for the time being.
No, and I love that.
I think it's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, I love it because I think nowadays, like when you go online, you see so many people documenting their lives, but it looks all staged, right? Where a lot of people are like, yeah, you know, walk through the Disney entrance 10 times until we get the perfect shot. And it's like, nah, you don't even got to do that. Like, you just got to document it for yourself. And if people mess with it, cool. But you shouldn't be documenting it because you need to run a business by it. You know, you should be documenting it because you want your kids to have something to see later. You know, some of these memories. Right. Like, we don't, man, I haven't seen a photo album in years, bro. In years. But I know we got all the digital pictures on the hard drive. Yeah, nobody makes them anymore, but we got videos everywhere. You know, we bought an extra hard drive just to store them. And it's like, that's what I like. Yeah. Like, you know, that's one thing that I always preach to people is like, you don't got to stage this life. Like, you could just be a dad, document it and have fun. Yeah. And sometimes people go overboard with all the cute stuff. And it's like, nah, man, that's not the way it works, man. Like, you're doing it for business. I think
what you just said right there is the most important part, is to have fun. I think, especially in these times right now, if you haven't got anything out of everything that's happened, have fun. Like, you got to enjoy this stuff. If you're not enjoying it, like, what's the point in life?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be enjoying yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with your family. So, you know, go for it. All the stuff. Do you know what's funny too? The best video I've ever had was an impromptu video about a Chrysler Pacifica. That's my best video right now.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all them videos we've done, all these places we've gone, the best one was a random. I seen a Chrysler Pacifica, the Pinnacle version, and I made a video.
Yeah,
the best one. So you never know what people are looking at. You're just supposed to enjoy it, and if you like it, make a video about it.
And do you?
If you go on, make a video. Yep.
Yeah, do you? And you know, sometimes it's like when you don't do you, it becomes a task. Like, you know, I'll get companies all the time that'll invite us to places. And all my friends will laugh because they're like, man, they're inviting you. They're giving you, you know, first class treatment. And you turn them down. And they'll ask me why. And it's like, man, I don't want to go to Disney for a week and work for Disney. Like, I hate going over there in the heat. And you want me to be there 7 days documenting it for them? Nah, man, I can't.
I would go because I want to go.
Yeah, I'm going to go because I see, they've offered, like, not Disney, but other companies have offered it. And to me, it's like, nah, man, I gotta go on vacation. I got to document everything. And then when I come back home, I got to put all of these things in files for you and format it for you. That ain't vacation anymore, man. If y'all not paying, y'all could keep the free entrance. And brands will look at brands will laugh, and they'll be like, all right, cool, we'll just find another father. They'll do it for free. And it's like, cool, let them have that free time. Yeah, they always will. But to me, it's like, I want to enjoy myself with my kids. If I can't document it freely, and if you're not paying me, then it can't happen. You know, it can't happen because I'm there for vacation, you know, and it's tough, man. It's tough. So how do your kids take it when they know that you pull out the camera and you're recording? Like, how did they adjust to it in the beginning? Were they freaked out? Were they all for it? Like, what was it? What was it like?
They're all different. Right. Mm-hmm. So my 9-year old, he just turns on. Right.
It's crazy to watch him
do it. Right.
He's a natural.
Natural. So easy. I have some videos where He'll just start going, and he'll be explaining stuff. He'll be like, come on. Like he's been a YouTube star his whole life, right? Uh-huh. 6-year-old, he really doesn't care. You know, my youngest, he really don't care. My oldest, my girl, off and on. Like, sometimes she turns it on, and then sometimes she doesn't. And my 12-year-old, he's the same way. So, you know, in the beginning, they were like, we're really going to do this? And I'm like, yeah. But now I think he wants to make his own channel. My other kid, he wants to make one just about, because he started it already. He just needs to do a little bit more. He wants to do just, you know how they do these gaming videos now? That's what he wants to do.
Where they watch them play the games?
Right, like where he'll talk, like where he'll be on. Because I told him, we can do it whenever you're ready. I'm probably going to do it in the summer because being I'm a teacher, I have summer off. So I have some time with him. But I think we're going to sit there and get the program straight where you can do the picture-in-picture. You can see him, and you can see the game he's playing while he's playing, and he can talk about it with the headset on.
Yep.
Like, he wants to be one of those guys. And I was like, well, if that's what you want to do, do it. I said, but if you're going to do it, do stuff that you actually like so it's still fun, so you enjoy it. Like how you're saying, you don't want it to be a task.
Yeah.
Because I've watched people do that, too, with these videos and stuff, like these people who only go to Disney. It's like, man, that is not my life. I do not want to just go to Disney every single weekend to make a video. I'm not that person. I enjoy it, but I'm not going to be there, you know, every single time. Like, sometimes I want to go to SeaWorld. Sometimes I just want to go to a museum, you know? Like, sometimes I just want to go hang out. So.
Yeah, or take the walk around the block, right? Just walk around with the kids. Too. Yeah, I think it's beautiful because I think my middle child, Jordan, he came to us a long time ago, and he was like, I want to start a YouTube channel. And I was so busy with Fatherhood is Lit and, you know, consulting for startups that I didn't want to do it. It was like, you know what, Jordan, like, you want to do this, but I can't really help. And I remember him saying, don't worry about it. And he's been releasing video after video. And sometimes I'll look at the video and I'll be like, man, if I would just help him a little bit, it would take it to the next level, maybe. Mm-hmm. But leaving him alone to do it is pretty eye opening. So how involved do you think you're going to get when he decides to do his YouTube videos with the video games? Like, do you think you're going to be watching him 24/7 while he does it, or are you just going to let him figure it out?
I think I might kind of let him figure it out. I'll give him the tools, kind of how I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Was I call it YouTube University. I just, you know, I'll just watch a video on what I'm trying to do and then emulate it on the program. So if that's what he wants to do. I've been trying to get him to do it. I think he's only posted like a couple of videos at random. But you know, I think you got to kind of, like how you do, you got to kind of pull back a little bit. I want you to figure it out to see if this is really what you want. Cause I know if it's really what you want, you know, you'll go hard for it. So I'm just kind of seeing what he does. I know school is going on right now. So got him being, he's face to face. So he's kind of busy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking probably by summer he'll probably not have much to do, and I'm pretty for certain of him. He's going to probably pick up and be like, "All right, this is what I want to do now," because we don't have anything to do at home. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, he'll do it. He'll do it. All right, so last question from me. You're a teacher. My wife is a teacher. What made y'all have kids, bro? Because I know a lot of teachers that tell me, yo, I got 30 kids in my classroom. I don't want no kids. And my wife, you know, she stopped at 3. She was like, all right, James, you know, you shooting up the club no more. You can't have no more kids. We're going to stop at 3. And the reason she told me was I got a lot of kids at school. So what made you, that's such a loaded question, right? Like, what made you want to have kids, bro, if you were a teacher already?
Well, I wasn't a teacher first, so I guess I had that in mind. But what made me want to be a teacher, even though I had kids, I have no idea. I think I just wanted something different. I got you. So the best way I could explain it was when I tried to do my own shop for like 2 years, mm-hmm. and stuff was getting expensive, and I was there a lot. There were days that I used to hate days like that, where I would have days where I couldn't get done on time so that I could go home and do something. Like, let's say I was supposed to hang out with my kids and do something, and I ended up having to come home late because I got to finish something. Mm-hmm. That wasn't fun. When this opportunity opened up to actually teach it, I was like, man, this is perfect. I can leave at 3, or if I want to do a little something extra, I can mess around with stuff too still. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is perfect. I get more time. I didn't know it was going to be this great, though.
Yeah.
Seeing high school kids come in here and then leave and become adults, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of them come back and visit. To me, it's still mind-blowing to have the kids who left like 4 or 5 years ago remember you and want to come see how you're doing and let you know how they're doing. To me, that's mind-blowing. We're you know, not only are we changing lives at home, we're changing lives in front of us. To me, that's crazy to just help with the trajectory of a child who becomes an adult. It's crazy. And I have to say, I enjoy it. It's really cool to teach them how to paint, even if they don't go into this field, just to see them go and exceed as an adult. To me alone, that's cool. I'll probably be around for a while.
How hard is it to watch a child in need in high school make it through high school on their own, you know, with the help of teachers and stuff like that, and then leave the school with no like family backing, you know? I help so many kids, and it's one of those questions that hits me deep, because I see kids that are, you know, 17, 18, they didn't have a dad around, sometimes their mother wasn't really around, and when they leave and go start their lives, it's hard. Where I look at it and it's like, damn, man, like this person has become part of my family, but I'm also proud that they can move on without us. Like, how hard is that as a high school teacher, since you must see way more students than I do?
It is. It's tough. You know, some of those kids keep up with you, and you keep up with them. Like, you know, it could be even just text message, hey, everything good. It's nice to see that some of them are still okay.
Yeah.
Even without that, you know. Sometimes it's just they want to hear your encouragement again. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, this is what I've been trying to do, mister. You're like, yeah, man, you can do it. Go for it. Sometimes that little, just those words will send them back on their way into the world. And I think it's amazing. At the same time, some of them are hard. You know, some of them, they disappear. You don't know what happened to them. You just hope they're okay.
Yeah, I think that's the harder part. I think that's the harder part. Like, when they disappear and you don't know. And it's like, how do you keep yourself from becoming a private detective and finding them? You know what I mean? Like, that has to be... That has to be hard for anybody that wants to make a change in a child's life. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, every story is different. Because, like you said, I got so many. You know, sometimes I get lucky and you'll end up with, like, little brother or little sister as a student. And then they can tell you that they're doing okay, everything's fine.
Yeah.
So that's encouraging, too, you know? Yeah. But some of them, you just hope everything's good. And some of them just pop up on you. I had one do that to me. Like a year ago, he went to the army. Like, he's doing great. He came to visit out of nowhere. He went to go see his ROTC teacher and some other teachers, and he came to see me too. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even in my class like that. He was always here visiting. Just a good kid, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean, some of them, you never know. They just get busy with their lives and they move on, and actually, they're doing okay. So,
Yeah, you never know. You never know what your impact does, right? And that's the, I mm-hmm. guess that's the beauty of teaching and fatherhood. Like you know, when you least expect it, they're watching everything and they learn everything. And sometimes when you don't think they're watching you, they come back and remind you that, nah, I know exactly what you were doing and I'm grateful for it. You know what I mean? And that's,
isn't that crazy?
That feels so good, man.
To hear them to like repeat a story or something you told them of importance, yeah, and actually remember that thing, and it could be years past. That, to me, that's crazy too.
Dogs, that's impact really over is. Everything. That's impact, yes, over everything. I tell people all the time, they want to sell you number one t-shirts, number one dad t-shirts. The real fathers, they cause an impact, man, and that's you. You know what I mean? So thank you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us to talk about the minivan dad life, Orlando life, and now the teacher life, man. I truly appreciate you, and I know that not only do your kids appreciate you, but I know the students appreciate you. So thank you. Thank you once again. What's the best way people can reach you, man? What's the best way they can keep up?
Man, I probably post on daily on my Instagram page. It's _ dad swag. So, because I changed my name. That's probably where I post my most stuff. Mm-hmm. If you want to search dad swag on YouTube, I'm there too. I try to do like one a week. Maybe in the summer I'll do a little bit more, but right now it's too much.
Yeah,
going on with having us, you know, teaching and all that stuff. So those are probably the best ways to reach me.
Nah, I love it, man. I love it. You know, to the fellas, making your presence felt isn't about how dope your car or minivan is. It's about the experiences that come with them. Nate, you just proved that to us, bro. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us, man. For real.
Thank you for the invite, man. I really appreciate the invite.
Yeah, man. And keep putting out that great content, man. You know, to the community once again, man. Nate Watson just proved that stereotypes are bullshit. You can still be a dope dad while riding in the minivan, even if it's not hooked up like Nate's. But if you see Nate's minivan out there, give him that fatherhood nod because you respect that he is fathering like the rest of us. Keep making your presence felt like a real one. That's what really matters. Nate, you killed it. Thank you so much, man. Fatherhood is lit.